Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Teamsters and also by the American Federation of Government Employees, and we appreciate their support. Folks, a little bit ago, we were talking with Heather Cox Richardson. She's a professor up in Boston, and we were talking about shock effects. Really great interview, but we never quite had enough time. And I'm bringing her back, and I want to talk a little bit about Mr. Bannon in the White House, what's going on. Folks, I come at this with the advantage of having some very highly specialized training in interview and interrogation procedures, custodial, non-custodial. That means somebody's under arrest or somebody's not under arrest. And identifying, I'm not going to say deception, but stress points in people's verbal and nonverbal communications. I could regale you about microfacial expressions and all kinds of other things, but I'm not going to do that today. What I want to do is I want to talk to Heather. And Heather, welcome back to the program. We appreciate you being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Heather, you know, Mr. Bannon, when it comes to having a poker face, and not so much. That guy, he lets you know when he's all a giggle about what's going on. But he's very skillful at raising a dust devil about all around himself and cloaking what he's really doing. What is your take on what he's doing and where he's going as an historian and as a expert on Republican history?
Well, so you and I are a great combination on this because I read the present through a historical lens. And what I look at is the way people, is the ideology behind somebody. You know, what is it that drives that person? So I got interested in Bannon last summer when a reporter asked me to evaluate his speech to the Vatican in 2014 for its economic series. And I looked at the economic series and I'm like, oh, these are, you know, whatever. This is just not of interest. But what is really of interest here is what he is setting up is he is using the ideological language of what we would call civilization. Those are people who truly believe that we are currently in a war with what they call radical Islam, but what they mean is the entire Islamic faith. And I was really shocked and really horrified because I had followed these people. It's an underground movement, and I had followed these people for other reasons that, you know, having to do with my work. And I was really shocked to see it in Bannon because I only knew him as the guy who was editing Breitbart. So then I went to Breitbart and read all the stories that he had, or, you know, not all of them, but I read through Breitbart when he was the editor. And what I saw there was an ideology that is not new to America, but which is profoundly disturbing. And it is this, and this, again, is my perspective as a historian looking at the way people think. What I saw was a man who believed that what he calls Western Judeo-Christian culture, with an emphasis on the Christian, is currently in a civilizational war with Islam, that is all of Islam, and that we must triumph. But the way to triumph is to take our civilization back down to what he considers its basics. And what he believes Judeo-Christian culture really is a culture in which a few elite white men organize everybody else in society and move society forward by concentrating wealth in their own hands, and by directing everybody else who really are people who aren't able to make their own good decisions. And this explains why Breitbart would, for example, run stories about how women shouldn't vote and how they shouldn't work outside the home and how African Americans are, you know, should not have rights in American society. It's part of an ideology, and if you pick it apart, it just looks like sexism or racism or whatever, but it actually is a worldview. It's not a coherent worldview. It's almost a cartoon worldview, because what is Islam? I mean, you've got different factions, you've got different countries, you've got different histories, you've got, you know, different levels of political engagement, you've got people living all over the country, but and certainly, you know, you could pick apart all the different levels of that, but when I look at Bannon, I see this man with a very black and white view of world history that requires the really tearing apart of American society, because it's America I care about, and that really there is not a plan behind, except this idea that you really want to kind of take society back to its basics and rebuild it in such a way that you haven't given away power to anybody except a small elite minority. Unfortunately, that fits quite well, I think, with President Trump's ideas, which are not the same. I think he is going along with that, but I don't think that that's what drives him. Unfortunately, also, Kellyanne Conway and Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, also adhere to that civilizational worldview, as do a number of, not all, but a number of evangelicals and a number of actually Congress people. So it's a really disturbing view, I think, from what I see. And that I think, is what he is up to and why he is moving so quickly, because he needs to get the pieces in order for this very, very quickly. Or Americans are going to stand up and go, wait a minute, we didn't really want to go engage in a hot world war.
Yes. Yeah. And that is why, for many people, I think, this idea that we have to go into Iran and we have to go settle things there is very troubling for anybody who's thinking about this. Okay.
Well, I am fascinated by the statements coming out of the administration about Iran and the fact that it's not getting the kind of play that I would give it, simply because it does seem to me to be so vitally important. Now, that being said, if Bannon's hand were stayed on Iran, he could pivot to something else. I mean, the goal of taking society back to, you know, the ground floor and rebuilding it in a certain way can be accomplished by any number of things. The easiest is, of course, to make sure we're in a military position, because Americans do rally around the president during a military engagement. And also because that, of course, gives the president war powers, which changes everything. I'm very concerned about it, to be honest with you. I hope I'm completely wrong and everybody laughs at me. But I think this is something that should be on people's radar screens.
What about the relationship between Putin, the Soviet Union, and the current administration? What should we be looking at that at?
Well, actually, that's another thing as a historian that as soon as that came, as the DNC hack came to light, I actually wrote a piece then and said, this is a story. There, of course, Putin has a different set of interests, but that is an extraordinarily problematic relationship. And this is a moment, again, when you and I talked the other day, we talked about how, you know, what ideals Americans share and how do you reach out about them. We do not want other countries interfering in our elections. And
right.
The idea that somehow we have done it so it's okay for other people to meddle with us, it's not okay that we did it, but it's sure not okay that people have done it with us. And Putin's interest in this, of course, is to shore up his own position in his own society and make sure American sanctions get taken off and that America is on his team rather than standing against him.
Right. And those sanctions have already been lifted to a large degree against the Soviet
Union.
Yes.
And we should be concerned about that. The fact that anybody could shrug and say, well, you know, we don't really care. We don't care about the tax returns. We don't care about, you know, the information about the hacking. We don't care about those things because we're Republicans. No. You care about those things because our country needs to be able to have its own protected political system.
Right.
And Putin's interfering other places as well. But, you know, what I see is alliances being made between Putin and the Trump administration, for example, because despite the fact their ideologies are different, in both cases they see a world, not just a country, it's a country I care about, but they see a world controlled by a few extraordinarily wealthy you know, interconnected people. And that's a worldview that Trump can get behind because, of course, that's how he's led his
right.
life.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Not a world I want to live in.
I agree with you. Heather, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. And I'm hoping we can get you back on to talk about these issues and others. It's important that people be aware of it. And quite honestly, keep up the good work. I mean, really, you are spot on. And you know, I have felt very similar to what you have very clearly articulated. And I want to thank you for doing that.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. How do we find out more about you? Is there a way we can reach out?
Yeah, you know, I'm sending people to my professional Facebook page, which is Heather Cox Richardson. You can follow my personal page, but it tends to run very heavily to historical tidbits and rock music. And I will argue about anything and entertain any other positions except about rock music. That I'm right about 100%.
Was Jimi Hendrix the finest guitarist ever?
No, he wasn't. Eric Clapton is.
Okay.
But Mark Knopfler's a close second, and so is Derek Trucks.
There you go. Heather, thank you very much. I appreciate it with you. Godspeed, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.